Shalom everyone, and we are studying today Parashat Nitzavim, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29, verse 9. Parashat Nitzavim is always the parasha being read before Rosh Hashanah, the new year. Okay, so, and the question is, what does it mean, Atem Nitzavim Hayom? You are Nitzavim. Now the question is, how do you translate the word Nitzavim? Because most translations relate to the word Nitzavim as standing. But it's not really correct, because in Hebrew, for the word for standing is Omdim. Okay, so why using the word Nitzavim and not Omdim? And the answer is, because let me just continue the story. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lifnei Adonai Elohechem. You're standing today, all of you, in front of the Lord your God. Rashechem, shivtechem, ziknechem. Your leaders, the leaders of the tribe, the tribal leaders, your elders, ziknechem, shotrechem, your police, policemen, kol ish Israel, all men of Israel. And then it goes on, verse 10. Tapchem nishchem v'gecha asher bikerev machanecha. Your children, your women, and also the foreigners that joined you. Okay, that's basically the concept. And to understand that, and how is that connected to basically the biggest question? The biggest question is, you know, we're starting exactly a week from now, a new year, the year of 5783, and the question is, what kind of a year we are going to experience? What kind of a year we're going to face? And that is a very important question, because the key for that is in the name of the parasha, in understanding what does it mean Nitzavim. When we understand what Nitzavim is, then we can figure out the code of what kind of a year I'm going to face, because we all know that you don't have to be really a prophet or a wise, very, very wise man or a woman in order to look at what's going around and to see that everything that we cherish, respect, and love as part of our society is in danger. And nothing guarantees that whatever we have in front of us, around us, to secure us, that we worked for all our lives, that is going still to be there in this coming year. So the question is, how do we achieve some certainty, some security, some peace of mind in the coming year? And it's all in this parasha. Again, the coming year, we all know, is very, very kind of unclear of what's going on. There's so many forces that came to the surface that were there in a modern society, but right now they are threatening to break, destroy, and just put into chaos all what we thought in the last 70 years, that this is what humanity is building. We're building a future for ourselves, for our children, for all of humanity, that is going to be stable. You know, there were even some people who called themselves futuristics that wrote, this is the end of history. From now on, no plagues, no wars. The world order is becoming more and more steady. No surprises. It's like the world is becoming very, very stable. You know, people said that. People prophesized that. Till a few years ago, And then what happened in the last few years was just like, wow, all of that is such nonsense. We realize how systems fall apart in front of our eyes. Every stage, every its economy, its politics, its world order, world peace, whatever you call it, all the structures that were created by humanity in order to stabilize this chaotic world, or the world, the chaos of this world that governed for so many millennia. And now we thought we are in control. And the last few years taught us that we are not in control, and no one can secure anything, because the way you see it today, you have no guarantee it's going to stay like this tomorrow, and it's getting, and the messages are on the wall, and it's getting even more and more chaotic by day, sometimes by hour. Now, and this is the question that traditionally people are facing when Rosh Hashanah is coming, when the new year is coming. And so what is the connection between this parasha and Rosh Hashanah, and why is this parasha giving us the answer to those questions? And here it is. I'm reading like from right now from the commentary of Rashi. Again, Rashi, Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki, that's the initials, Rashi, the biggest commentator for the Torah, the whole Tanakh, in history. He lived in France in the 11th century. And Rashi just gathered all the commentaries existed in Judaism till his time. And he's still the most popular commentary on the whole, not just the Tanakh, but also the Talmud. Okay, so Rashi says, Atem nitzavim hayom, you are standing today, melamed shekinsa Moshe lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'yom oto, it shows us that Moses, on his deathbed, he was not sick, but it's the day, the last day of his life on earth, he gathered all of them, lehachnisam babrit, in order to bring them into the covenant. Didn't we have a day of getting everybody into the covenant? That was Mount Sinai revelation. That's when everybody got into the covenant, and everybody said, we'll do and we'll listen. Okay? So what is this special day? And we know, because if it says, Rashi says, the tradition says, which means he saw it in many, many places, that when it says today, it speaks about the last day of Moses on earth. We know the date. The date was the seventh day of Adar. Okay, so why don't we celebrate the seventh day of Adar as a special day? Yeah, this is the day that Moses left this physical world. Still, most people, when the seventh day of Adar is coming, and most people have no idea. If you don't really notice in the Hebrew calendar, you won't realize, because there's no special celebration almost on that day. So the question is, what's in it for us? So the answer is that, so we have, right like this, we have 2 days of the covenant. One is Mount Sinai revelation, two, the last day of Moses. And then we cannot ignore the fact that Parashat Nitzavim must be always the parasha to be read on just before Rosh Hashanah. Why is that? So why is that the rule? Okay, so first of all, we have to understand the meaning of the word Nitzavim. Okay, Nitzavim does not mean in Hebrew standing. It's not just standing, it is standing, but it's something more than that. Nitzavim means that you're being appointed. And of course, we'll see that in Orach Haim, Rabbi Moshe, Orach Haim HaKadosh, Okay. That he explains, Atem Nitzavim, that's a later commentary, that's the 17th century. Okay. Rabbi Chaim ben Atar, למה הוא צריך לפרט ראשיכם וכולי? So he's asking, what does it mean Nitzavim? And why do we need to have that those descriptions of your heads, the heads of the tribes, your elders, why it's not enough to say all of you? We said already, אתם ניצבים היום כולכם. You are standing today, all of you. Okay? That should be enough. שהכוונה, says אור החיים הקדוש, על דרך אומרו, הניצב על הקוצרים. He quotes from the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse 5, and he says the verb nitzav is somebody who's appointed with responsibility. For instance, in today's Hebrew, when you want to say that somebody is a commander in the army, so you have a general, okay? You have aluf, that's the word in Hebrew. But in the Israeli police, it is nitzav. Nitzav means somebody who is in a commanding office, commanding job. He is a leadership and he has the power to control, to manage. Leshon minui, which means somebody who's appointed for a job with responsibility and commanding people below. Okay? Now, and why is that important? Because he says, Kulchem, all of you. Just a second. All of you? We can understand, maybe, when you speak about your leaders, the tribal leaders, your elders, the family leaders, your police, but then why all Kol Ish Yisrael, every man in Israel? And then you thought every man? No, the children, the women, even the foreigners that joined you, all of them. Michote v'tzecha tshoe v'mecha, from the people who cut the wood till the people who draw the water from the well. Okay, so what is that? And here comes the real important understanding. Because it goes on to verse 11. לעוברך בברית אדוני אלוהיך ובעלתו, אשר אדוני אלוהיך קוראת עמך היום. It is to bring you into the covenant of the Lord your God, okay, that God, your Lord, is making with you today. Okay, so now, there are three points in time that this is correct. One, Mount Sinai Revelation. Two, the day Moses is basically reenacting the covenant on the day that he basically delivers the staff to his heir, Joshua. Okay, which means he has to reenact the covenant, because without that covenant, Joshua's leadership does not have the real true meaning. Joshua is not just the heir and the leader. He's also the one that takes the responsibility to the next generation, the responsibility of the Mount Sinai covenant. Okay? And then it specifies it, verse 12. למען הקים אותך היום לא לעם, in order to establish you today as a nation, and והוא יהיה לך אלוהים, and he is going to be your God, כאשר דיבר לך, as he spoke to you, וכאשר נשבע לאבותיך לאברהם, יצחק וליעקב, and as he vowed to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look, this is precise to the detail a covenant, a legal statement and a covenant. But the question is, what's in it for us? And again, why before Rosh Hashanah? And it goes on, verse 13. ולא איתכם לבדכם אנוכי קוראת את הברית הזאת. I'm not making this covenant today just with you standing over here. כי את אשר ישנו פה אימנו עומד היום לפני אדוני אלוהינו, ואת אשר איננו פה אימנו היום. It is with the ones who are standing here, who are with us today, in front of the Lord our God, and with the ones who are not here physically today. Which means this covenant is with all of us, even those who say, I don't remember being there. Oh, the covenant applies to you and you and you and me and all of us. Okay? So what this covenant is about, the Zohar is explaining to us. If you open the Zohar itself, there's no, you know, you see the Zohar organized by chapters, okay? Which means there's a whole section about Parashat Bereshit, then Noach. It goes like this through the whole five books of Moses. However, Parashat Nitzavim does not have a section specially in the Zohar that explains the verses of this parasha. However, those verses are being explained in other places along the rest of the Zohar. So in Parashat Lech Lecha, we have one explanation about what we've just read. And it says as follows, that in the Zohar, in the old print of the Zohar, the traditional print of the Zohar, not of Rabbi Ashlag, page 89, side 1, and it says as follows, Bo ure, come and see. בשעה שברא הקדוש ברוך הוא את העולם, לא נברא אלא על ברית. When the world is being created, it has been created based on the covenant. כמו שנאמר, בראשית ברא אלוהים. When we read the first word, or the first verse, the opening words of the Torah, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, Bereshit bara Elohim. The word Bereshit means literally, simply, in the beginning, but it's not. There's so many meanings to the word Bereshit. One of them, if you look at the word Bereshit, you can find inside, says the Zohar, the word Brit Esh, a covenant of fire, the eternal fire. But that's a covenant, okay? שברא את העולם על ברית, ראינו ברית שעל ברית העמיד הקדוש ברוך הוא את העולם. The whole world is based, established upon the covenant. Which covenant? And what it so, and it says, אם לא בריתי יומם ולילה, חוקות שמיים וארץ, or something, and God said, if not my covenant, day and night, which means when everything is full of light, or when things are full of darkness, it does not matter, the covenant must be above everything. Okay? חוקות שמיים וארץ, or something, the rules of heaven and earth will not be able to sustain. שהרי הברית קשר היא, because a covenant is a union, a connection. שיום ולילה לא ייפרדו, so the day and night would not be separated from each other, and the world would not come into chaos. אמר רבי אלעזר, to give us some more details. רבי אלעזר says, כשברא הקדוש ברוך הוא את העולם, when God created the universe, על תנאי היה. It was upon a condition. שכאשר יבוא ישראל, when the nation of Israel will come and stand on Mount Sinai, אם יקבלו את התורה, הרי טוב. If they accept the Torah as a covenant, which means accept it as a commitment, which means that what a covenant is, okay? That's good. ואם לא, and if not, what if the nation of Israel or Mount Sinai say, you know what, we'll think about it, you know, don't call me, we call you, okay? If not, הרי אני מחזיר אתכם לטוב עבור, the world we go back to where it started from, without any process of creation. והעולם לא יתקיים, and that means that till the Mount Sinai revelation, the world was based on condition. It was not really in a status of existence. It existed based on a condition. And what was the condition? That the Israelites, when they come onto Mount Sinai and receive the Torah, and then the world has been established. ומיום ההוא והלאה, הקדוש ברוך הוא בורא עולמות. Okay, so now we got the connection to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the day that the world has been created. This is the day of the creation of the world. Let's go back to the word Bereshit. Okay? Bereshit is also the same letters of Aleph Bet Tishrei. The first day of Tishrei, which is the date in the Hebrew calendar of Rosh Hashanah. The first day of the month of Libra. That's Aleph Bet Tishrei. Aleph Bet Tishrei, same letters as Bereshit. Okay, so now, that means that when the world is being created, it was Aleph Bet Tishrei. How do we know? Was there anybody over there to write it down, or to register, or to report? Oh, the world is being created. Yay! Let's look at the calendar. Oh, it's the first day of Tishrei. Now let's write it down. We know from now on to celebrate every year the first day of Tishrei that the world is being established. No, it was not like this. It just to teach us that every year and the Hebrew calendar is a calendar, or it's a biblical calendar basically. It's a calendar of cosmic forces, cosmic events. It's a kind of astrological, but much more than that, calendar. Which means when we say Aleph Bet Tishrei, we mean, or the first day of Tishrei, we mean that every year when we celebrate the new year in the Hebrew calendar, we basically reconnecting to the same forces that generated, created the universe the way we know it. Okay, so now, but then it says very clearly, without the covenant, the creation cannot be eternally established, really established. Which means, now we understand how Parashat Nitzavim is connecting three dates together. The creation of the universe, Mount Sinai revelation, and the last day of the life of Moses. It's all about the same thing, the covenant. As the world is being created, it was created for the purpose of the covenant. Mount Sinai revelation basically sealed the deal. Okay? Moses is now making a second seal of that deal. And we read every year Parashat Nitzavim just before Rosh Hashanah to complete that connection, which means when the year is starting, we're not just celebrating that 57, 83 years ago, the world is being created. No, that's not, so what? No, The world goes on that day to the original state of creation. And again, we need to reenact the covenant every year again, because the whole functioning of this world that we know is dependent, is conditioned by the covenant. And what is the covenant? And again, here it is. There is an aspect of responsibility, and there is an aspect of appointment, which means the existence of the universe is dependent on our acceptance of our responsibility for what is happening in our universe. Okay? And that is what the covenant is about. What is the definition of a covenant? Taking responsibility, okay, and standing behind it. It's a promise, it's a commitment, it's an awareness in which we take responsibility. For what? So here is the secret of everything. This world has been created for one purpose and one purpose only. It was created in order to have those creatures called humans, or as this we call it in Hebrew, Bnei Adam, the children of Adam, okay? Accepting their responsibility to reveal God's light in this world, because when we were created, we could not receive a free gift, which is God's light. And therefore, the universe that we know has been created so we can transform the darkness into light, the chaos into order, and the bitterness into sweet. That's the purpose of the creation, which means if humans do not take upon themselves the appointment, the responsibility, the duty, as a profession, as a life covenant, that we are here in order to basically achieve godliness, achieve partnership with the Creator, and that means taking responsibility in completing this world as the way it is, and making it the world that the light of God can manifest through. The moment we do not, there are no human beings who take that responsibility, there's no justification for the existence of this world. Okay, remember again, how many times a day, sometimes less, but we ask ourselves the question, where's justice? Why there's no order in this world? Why can't we just live a nice, happy life? Why is it that the world is so chaotic and so upsetting so many times, too many times? Why is it that things don't go normally, and it's all, most of the time, it's all about human corrupt behavior? And the answer is that, as we said, and the basic teachings of the Zohar, the universe has been created in a perfect state. We can find it in Genesis chapter 1, verse 5. There was a night, there was a day, one day. That stage, explains the Zohar, everything was already created, and everything was perfectly harmonious, happy, and beautiful. Okay? However, since we, human souls, all human souls, were created in the image of Adam, we could not accept that perfection and happiness as a free gift. we had the need to manifest the feature of the Creator inside each one of us. And therefore, God did us a favor, and He allowed the breaking of that perfection, and that's what the second day is about. It's about separating, separating, and separating, which means giving a place for void, chaos, imperfection, so we can put things together and bring it back to perfection. However, all of this, which means the world that we know, that our consciousness is aware of, all of this is there with all its big question marks about where is God, where is justice, why can't things go well, why can people just love each other and live in harmony till the end of days, why people don't take the easy way, and instead of that they just tend to mess things up. Okay, and the answer is that the chaos and the evil inclination and the impure spirit that covers the planet and makes people behave in a weird way, which is destruction. You know, we understand that the world could be such heaven, but because of greed, because of anger, hatred, fear, you know, all of those traits, terrible traits of human nature, animals don't have that nature. Okay, if you leave the world, there something will happen, and all humans will be taken out of this planet. This planet will take a few centuries, not too many, and harmony will come back to this planet. Why? When you take humans out, the rest of the creation knows how to keep balance. Okay? How do we know? We see different places around the earth, along the earth. The moment humans leave, the steady state, the balance comes back. Little by little, in some places it takes decades, some places it can take centuries, but the balance comes back. The moment you take human greed or revenge, hatred, fear, and so on, human blindness, the moment you take it away, things have the nature to come back to order and to balance and to heavenly state. Okay? So the reason for all pain, suffering, and misery is the impure spirit that simply lays on humans only, not on animals, not on the vegetable kingdom, not on the inanimate kingdom. It's all human responsibility, which means if we let humans just do whatever they feel like, sooner or later, with the way we see it, we have the tendency to destroy whatever we touch. Okay? And first of all, we destroy ourselves. Because it's very hard to see today really true happy people. Okay? Oh, you can see joyous people when they spend money or when they do all kinds of stuff that most of the time it doesn't sound right, like getting drunk or partying and stuff like this. It's like, and usually we have the tendency to go off balance. Either we drink too much, eat too much, celebrate too much, buy too much, destroy the people too much and enjoy it. Where is this coming from? The impure spirit. Why is there an impure spirit? To give us the challenge to fight it, overcome it, and basically partner with the Creator in bringing the balance back to Earth. And now that we can partner with Him and we feel the closeness and the enlightenment, and it's being achieved by us, now we can enjoy the creation, but now it's our own gain, and because it's our own pain, but it's now we have ownership and partnership with the Creator. This is the story. However, without people accepting that commitment to fight the impure spirit, to fight our human nature, the chaotic side of our human nature, the dark side of our human nature, then as long as we do not have that commitment, we are doomed and humanity is doomed. And therefore, that's what the Zohar was saying. And that it's not only the Zohar, it's you can find that expression all over Jewish sources that say, and it's from the it's from the prophets also, without the covenant, the world cannot stand even for a short while. Why? There's no justification for all of human suffering and all the chaos if it does not lead to a place of overcoming, correction, improvement, and bringing it all to a place of peace, world harmony. If it does not lead to that, there's no justification even for 1 second for human suffering. And therefore, there's no justification for the creation. And that's why it says, if not my covenant day and night, there's no place for this universe. So therefore, the crucial moment, which means if you understand a little bit quantum physics, and quantum physics is basically a very weird science, because it says what Kabbalists were saying for so many years, but people looked at them as crazy. And quantum physics say it's like there is a direct connection between consciousness, human consciousness, and the physical existence of whatever is around us. Which means, without that human consciousness of Mount Sinai revelation, in which a whole nation accepted the appointment, the responsibility, the covenant, we are here to take responsibility for our emotions, our feelings, our dark side, and we are here to fix it, and there's no compromise about it. Oh, it's going to be hard, but we have a commitment. Not this lifetime, next lifetime. Not right now, later on. However, we will never really break the commitment. We'll never break the covenant. That is the condition, because without that, there's no reason for the world to create. So if we say that the moment in time that every year the whole story of the creation comes back to the table, and God has to relay, it's like, okay, let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to the source. Are we really, every company does it, which means at least once a year, you have to get together all the board, the directors, whatever, the governing body, and you have to see, the reports and to say, are we on the right direction? Are we doing the right thing? Or should we just say there's no excuse for this company to exist? Why? It's just spending money, doesn't make enough money, just creating chaos. There's a chaos in the banking system, there's a chaos in the government, governing bodies, there's a chaos with the customers, with the workers. It doesn't work. Maybe we should close the whole thing down or sell it to somebody else. Everybody, which means every body of government, which said Nitzavi means government, control, must do this assessment about how are we, what are we doing, and are we going to continue what we just did in the previous year? Without that, there's no way to run any functional body, any functional governmental body or organizational. It doesn't matter if it's the free market or the non-profit market. You must do that. Every human being must have that moment at least once a year. Rosh Hashanah is the time, because the whole world goes back, as the Zohar is teaching us, to the moment of the creation. So the reassessment is being done every year for the whole of the creation, for the whole of humanity, on Rosh Hashanah. So the question is very simple. Are there enough people that take the commitment of the covenant to guarantee that the process of improvement, the process of the journey of humanity towards completion, to continue? Because if there are not enough people, there's no reason for this business to go on. Okay? So the reading of Parashat Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah is basically to awaken within all of us, consciously and subconsciously, because when, as we realize over here, when the Israelites accepted the covenant on Mount Sinai, the status of all of humanity has been changed. From a status of kind of a status of a hanging on a limb, which means we're not so sure if you're going to be there or not, if that creation was a success or not. We're not sure. It's like, you know, this business is temporary, which means humanity is conditioned and temporary. It doesn't stay on, doesn't stand on a permanent base. The moment the Israelite nation accepted the covenant, it became permanent. Okay? So the effect spread all over the world. Why? Because if the Israelite accepted that, sooner or later that idea will spread around the world, because that's what it says on Mount Sinai. Kili kol haaretz, you will be the guarantee. That's what the Torah is saying. And Rabbi Ashlag is saying, it doesn't mean chosen nation, like many people translate it, Am Segula. It means the catalyst nation, the nation that will guarantee that the rest of the world will basically come to the covenant sooner or later. That's why God continues, Kili kol haaretz, because the whole earth is mine. Which means, on Rosh Hashanah, we are basically dividing, as it says in the prayers of Rosh Hashanah. It's like the whole of humanity are being brought like sheep, okay? And there's a division. Who accepts the covenant? Who accepts the rules that we have a commitment to transform the darkness into light, to overcome the impure spirit that is embedded in each one of us, to commit to integrity, honesty, and especially to commit to the idea that we are all Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lifnei Adonai. We are all appointed by God to bring order, peace, and unity to this planet. This is the condition. So the whole purpose of Rosh Hashanah is to reenact the covenant. And of course, the ones who will be found living the covenant on Rosh Hashanah, of course, that the year they are going to experience in the coming 12 months will be experienced differently as the people who come to Rosh Hashanah and they have no idea what's going on. They just think that, you know, whatever happens, happens. Whatever we do. And, you know, if you see something and you can take it, you take it. And if nobody allows you to take it, so don't take it, unless nobody looks. You know, it's like we're here just to take the most as we can. And, you know, the more the merrier. Without the covenant, there's no reason for the world to exist. And we ask ourselves again, we look around on this planet today, world politics, world's economy, the climate problems, everything. And we see one problem that is everywhere. Instability is always because of the impure spirit. It is human greed, hate, desire for power, uncontrolled power. This is the impure spirit. When that is not being controlled, when the idea, the morals of commitment for honesty, integrity, peace, dignity, all of that, all of these rules, the biblical rules, if there's no commitment for that, then you do not belong to the covenant, and you do not belong to the covenant means that who will run your life in the coming year? The dark side. What kind of a year would it be if you are just a victim to your dark side, to your uncontrolled desires, and you even think that is okay, and you will look around and we see so many people around are so much enslaved to their greed, to their hatred. You can see everywhere around the planet where the problems are and there's instability. Doesn't matter what kind of instability, you can always trace the culprit. Impure spirit, which means lust, hatred, lack of honesty, no morals, no rules. If I see and I can take, I will take. You can see it in politics, you see it in the court system, police system, you can see it in business, you can see it in everywhere, people's relationships, in every stage. When this is in control, which means you do not belong to the covenant, which means you're not established, you do not feel responsible, then that's how you're going to feel the rest of the year, which means you feel deep inside, you will feel powerless, you will feel being run. You know how many conspiracy theories exist? What, where is this coming from? What's the basic idea? It's all about people feeling loss of control. So there's all kind of cabal, there's all kinds of, I'm not saying there's no, but it's coming from the feeling that something, someone is running the show and it's not me. Why it's not you? Because you did not accept the covenant upon you. Because the moment you accept the covenant, you take responsibility for the way you feel, the way you behave, and because of that, you get control over the way your life is being basically run. So, and that's what Rosh Hashanah is about. And therefore, it says very clearly, like it said in the previous parashot, if you do not accept the covenant, you think you can run away from that. The curses, the plagues, the pain and suffering going to start. Why? Because the moment you choose to live against the laws of this universe and the main law of this universe, that this universe was created to give every human being the ability, the power to be as God, loving, caring, creative, independent, honest, which means the source of light to your environment. If you do not accept that covenant, you just go against the rules. So can you imagine somebody will go against the rules of electricity and put his finger in the socket? Somebody will go against the rules of gravity and will jump off the buildings. The moment you go against the rules of this world, you experience pain, misery everywhere you go, all the time. So that is the main thing about this parashah. So it continues. Just even more than that, and we'll complete with the prophecy that says if the Israelite nation is not going to obey the rules, is not going to accept the covenant, is not going to reenact the covenant, not just daily, you know what, once a year on Rosh Hashanah, okay, then when you go against the rules of the universe, then the universe does not participate in your life, and the reality will be chaos. And finally, you can find it in chapter 29, verse 27, and it speaks about the exile of the Israelite nation to foreign lands with wrath, with anger, and they will be thrown. The word is Vayashlichem, chapter 29 in Deuteronomy, verse 27. Vayashlichem, and he will throw them away. However, there's something weird. In the word Vayashlichem, there's a huge, in the Torah itself, there's a huge lamed, which means the letter lamed, which is in the middle of the word, is not written in the normal size, like the rest of the letters of that word, but in a super big size. Okay? Why? And if the Torah is not written with a big lamed, that it's not a real kosher Torah. Why is that so important? So we learn from the Kabbalists that if there is something different in the Torah, it is to invite us to check what's going on. There's something here that is inviting an investigation. Now, when we learn Kabbalistic astrology and we learn about how the universe is structured, we learn from the Book of Formation, Sefer Yetzirah, that the world was created with 22 forces, 22 vibrations, that the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet are a manifestation on a physical level of those 22 basic frequencies. Okay, that all the physical dimensions of a universe basically manifest those 22 original frequencies. Okay, and it says one of the explanations of the letter Lamed is the letter Lamed represents the sign of Libra, the month of Tishrei, which is always following, the new moon of Libra is always following the reading of Parashat Nitzavim. The letter that is the original frequency behind Libra is the letter Lamed. And there's something special about the letter Lamed and something that completes it in a big Lamed. Okay. Why? The letter Lamed in Hebrew alphabet, it's the only letter, okay, in the biblical letters that goes above the line. Which means, how do you write the letter Lamed in a Torah? You write something that looks like the letter Kaf, and then you put a Vav on top of it, on the left corner, that goes to the upper line. Which means that the letter Lamed shows about the connection to the world above, a special, unusual connection. It is also kind of the middle letter of the Hebrew alphabet, 22 letters, so it's not exactly the middle, but it's in the middle. And also a big lamed, a big letter in the Torah, a few places like the big bet, the first letter of the whole Torah, shows about connecting to the upper world, to the upper, to the what is called Olam Haba, the world to come, the universe that is awaiting all of us, and all our job on this earth by taking the commitment, taking the covenant, is to raise ourselves, that this world is coming at us all the time. So the spirituality is not something that will happen after we die, but the spirituality that we are dealing with is something that you have to invite into your life daily. So where do we get our sustenance from? Children, family, all what is good from that realm. Because if you're not connected to that realm, you're doomed to have chaos. Why? Because if we let our impure spirit, our dark side, to take control over us, which means if I feel like hating, I will hate. Why? Because I feel like. If I feel like cheating, I will cheat. Why? Because I feel like. If I feel like stealing or killing, I will do that because I feel like. No commitment. When people behave this way, they live in the limitation of this physical, elusive world. And as we learned, this world is totally deprived from the connection to the real, true dimension we came from. And we live this way, we're doomed to suffer. So the month of Tishrei is a month that is the whole month. The whole sign of Libra has a special connection to the upper world so we can recharge our spirituality, our consciousness, and especially our covenant, our commitment to who we are. What do we represent in this world? That we have a job. We're here for a job. And there's no day off, not even an hour off, a minute off from that job. If you choose and reenact that covenant, then your whole life will be a life full of spiritual infusion, of spiritual forces that will affect your family life, your health, everything you experience, because you will live in this two-dimensional world above and below, which the Lamed with this line coming up is that connection. When you're connected to spirituality and you have a commitment for it, it's not a hobby, something you do in your spare time, it's a commitment. Then you as a person has the authority to control your life and your destiny. That is the secret. And that is how your life will look like. But that's not enough. You also have a mission. By your behavior, your speech, whatever you present, whatever you project, you are in charge of bringing other people into that same covenant. That is the story of this parasha. That is the story of what Rosh Hashanah is about. Thank you so much, and have a happy new year. The year that will be really new, that with that consciousness, we can really establish something better for ourselves and for the rest of humanity.